Okay, and thank you everybody else who's read, and welcome to those that have joined us since we first started, and a particular welcome to any newcomers or visitors to the meeting this evening. We hope you hear something tonight. We encourage you to keep coming back. So like I said, we are a speaker meeting tonight. I'm delighted to say we do have a speaker, an American that lives in China that's currently sharing from Switzerland, which blows me away. And I'm going to leave it to Jay to introduce him. So Jay, over to you.
I'm an addict. My name is Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Jay.
And this is, I mean, when you start thinking about it like that, I'm sitting on the side of a mountain in Costa Rica. So this is very global today. And our speaker tonight is somebody that I met in these rooms, have gotten to know in these rooms, do service in these rooms with, and call my friend. We've spent a lot of time on the phone since we've gotten to know each other, and I always enjoy talking to him and sharing about recovery. He is, I'm looking forward to hearing his story one more time, and his excitement for the program, because he does have an excitement for the program. And without further ado, Norman, will you share with us?
Thanks, Jay. My name is Norman, and I'm an addict.
Thanks, Jay. Hi, Norman.
Hi,
Hey, hi, everybody. Well, it's a really nice evening here in Zurich. I've been at the European Convention since, I've been in Zurich since Thursday afternoon, but I've been at the European Convention since yesterday. This is one of the best conventions I've ever been to. And it's also probably the most unusual because it's being held in a public park. The main speaker area is a tent in the middle of this park. And this park is famous because 30 years ago, it was pretty much the place where everybody hung out and shot dope, and where the government spent time, you know, passing out needles. And it was kind of a very, very badly failed social experiment. But what's really cool here is that we're kind of, you know, coming around full circle 30 years later and having a convention of Narcotics Anonymous in this place. It's like having an open air festival. What's also cool is that there are a lot of people that come here on a regular basis. You know, this is their park. This is a public park. There are people that are here playing cards that seem to do the same thing every day. They all get together and do things, at least, you know, on the weekends or something. There are other people walking through that have nothing at all to do with the convention. It reminds me a lot of, you know, what we're trying to do in Narcotics Anonymous, and that is that we're not trying to create an environment that's insulated from the rest of the world. We're trying to be functioning, productive members of society. We're trying to integrate into the society instead of taking ourselves away, because in fact, A lot of what my addiction was about, and I think it's probably true for a lot of other people, a lot of what my addiction was about was isolation. Some people call addiction a disease of loneliness. And I really think that that's, or a disease of isolation, I really do think that's right on the money for what addiction is. So, you know, I got here in, you know, many of the same ways that a lot of other people did. I was not capable of using any kind of substance moderately, and I would include particularly anything with a high degree of sugar in that as well. And I still struggle a lot with food because it's not something I can just give up. But one of the things that kept me away from recovery for as long as possible was that I had the ability to say, I don't do this drug, I don't do that drug, I do this other drug that most people seem to think is harmless. It's just that it was consuming my life. And I didn't, you know, I was unaware, or I was willfully blind to how much it was consuming my life until it became impossible to ignore. So I wasn't using a needle. I wasn't using white substances. I wasn't drinking, and that was also kind of a big thing. It's like, well, I'm not a drunk. Would anybody say that I have a problem? You know, but what was that on a regular basis, I was lying. On a regular basis, I was stealing money from my girlfriend. On a regular basis, I was not showing up for my job and for my life. You know, I was a student, and I probably had a pretty horrible attendance record, you know. And actually, you know, when I think about it, when somebody asked me, you know, what was the one thing that got me clean, that got me to finally get clean, it was that I was tired of feeling like I was full of shit all the time. You know, I felt like what I was doing was putting up a facade, make everybody think that I had it together. And I knew behind that facade that I didn't have it all together. My life was fucked up. I was fucking up. What I also didn't realize was that almost everybody could see through the facade, and nobody was surprised when I finally stopped trying to pretend that I was okay. People around me, in some cases, well, we wondered when you'd get to that point where, you know, when I finally, that I was an addict, people that were close to me. I remember one time going to a meeting and seeing somebody that I had known years before when I worked at a newspaper as a reporter. He looked at me and he said, "Ah, I remember you. We all knew you had a seat in here, but we wondered if you'd make it." You know, that was shocking to me because I really thought that I was really good at, you know, at putting up the facade. You know, I thought I was really good at just making everybody think I had it all together. The truth is, I still don't have it all together. You know, one of the things that I learned in recovery is that none of us have the whole picture, and we all need each other for an understanding of reality. You know, there are times when what I perceive is my own head, and what I need more than anything else is the perspective of other people to help me to see reality as it is, you know. And that's something that I learned here, you know. I grew up in a kind of a strange situation. I was the middle child of five kids. My youngest brother was a month old when my father died. I was 5 years old. For a long time, I carried in my head, even though I knew it wasn't reasonable, I carried the idea that my behavior as a five-year-old was directly responsible for his death because he died of a heart attack. You know, that because I was being the way a five-year-old behaves, he wasn't able to recover from being sick. I carried that with me for a very long time. I think all the way up into recovery. It was one of the things that I found necessary to deal with. What also happened was that several years after my father had died, my mother remarried, and my stepfather had four children. So I suddenly became seven of nine. But more importantly than that, and I only say this because it plays a role in the dynamic. They were of a different persuasion than I was, than we were. And that particular situation created conflict because as I was getting older, as I was approaching the age of 13, I found myself kind of at odds with some members of my father. And it created a lot of conflict. And I think within a short time after that, I started using, pretty much abandoned everything that mattered to me in that part of my life in terms of spirituality. My spirituality became used where that leads. Where I am now, at this point in my life, discovering my spiritual roots and my spiritual foundation. And it's been a wonderful journey, but it's also been a struggle because I sometimes rebel, you know, against my own desire to have this spiritual life. So it's been a very interesting couple of years in that respect. And it's, you know, it's been beautiful and it's been painful sometimes and it's been a struggle. And I'm very grateful to have it. I spent a lot of years in the program believing that my higher power was just the group itself, was you know, just the emergent property that exists when a group of people work together to help each other stay clean. And I think that there's a lot to be said for that aspect of recovery. But what I'm very grateful for is that with the help of people in this program, I've been able to revise my way of thinking, to open my mind to you know, to the possibility that yes, I can have a God in my life. I can actually practice a religion. And it doesn't mean that I'm somehow copping out on my, you know, belief in certain rational, rational phenomenon. It doesn't mean that I have to abandon everything else that I know is true or that I believe the evidence supports. It just means that I can have another part of my life that can coexist with the other parts of my life. And again, it's a beautiful thing and it's a struggle at times. But it just seems like it's worth it. You know? I'm very grateful to NA. And I'm grateful that one of the most important spiritual principles is open-mindedness. Willingness is also something that's important. And there are definitely times that I struggle with being willing to do what I know I need to do in order to have the kind of life that I want to have. Just before I left for Zurich, I did a major cleaning of my house. I did it while my dogs were off being, you know, taken care of by somebody else, you know, I had arranged it so that I could do that. But I have been aware for a very long time that the chaos that exists around me in my own home has been contributing to a state of mind and a sort of depressive feeling that I have, and it was really good to put in the effort to clean up as much as I could before I left. And it means that, you know, now what I have is the opportunity to do a little bit more when they get back and actually get to the place where I can just sort of maintain a relative sense of order by just making, you know, minor adjustments every day instead of having to do some big massive, you know, seven big bags of trash clean out, you know, where I fill up the, you know, the waste receptacles outside of my house, you know, like out in the, you know, in the public area. So, you know, I'm glad that I did it finally. And I know that I've, you know, I know I want to stay on top of it. Because what I recognize is that the chaos has an effect on my psyche, and it has an effect on my spiritual life. So, I don't know much else to say. It's a beautiful evening. Actually, it looks like the speakers meeting is about to get going here. So I think I'm going to wrap it up here, and then I'm going to move to a place where I can still hear everybody else and get a chance to hear what other people have to share about their recovery. So thank you all for allowing me to share tonight.